big show. Maybe you.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Glory, yeah. I'm saved.
Amen.
I like what it's showing.
Excuse me?
Might be a show, but I like what it's showing.
I like what it's showing, that's right. It's the right show. Hallelujah.
Right.
All right. Well, this next performer, I mean, lady. Sister, I'll put you on the spot already. Sister Ruth Ann Askew is going to come sing. You give her your undivided attention. When she's done, the champ's going to preach. Amen. 2008 North Carolina State Super Ultra Flyweight Wrestling Champion, Brother Zach Vernon is going to preach.
I thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way. Hold on, it's been a while since I sang this one. In that I've been, let me start over, sorry. I thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way. In that I can learn to stay close by your side. And I thank you, Lord, for the patience those trials bring. In that process of growing, I can learn to care. But it goes against the way I am to put my human nature down. But let the Spirit take control of all I do. Cause when those trials come, my human nature shouts the thing to do. And God's soft prompting can be easily ignored. And I thank you, Lord, that with each trial I face each day, that you're there to help lead and guide me away from wrong. Cause you promised, Lord, that with every temptation, that your way of escaping is easier to bear. But it goes against the way I am to put my human nature down. But let the Spirit take control of all I do. Cause when those trials come, my human nature shouts the thing to do. And God's prompting can be easily ignored. I thank you, Lord, for the victory that you have won on the cross of Calvary, freeing me from sin. And I thank you, Lord, for taking my place in hell. You love the unlovable when you saved my soul. And I thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done, so that I can learn to stay close by you today.
Brother Zach, wait just a moment here. I look forward to hearing Brother Zach preach. Brother Zach is one of the first people to come to the youth meeting. I've watched him grow in grace, his ability to preach the Word of God. Watched him get a wife. Love that. As my wife up there singing, I have the honor and the pleasure of parking her shoes under my bed at night. Waking up in the morning, she's there. Our house is filled with songs.
I bet.
We have a new granddaughter, little Raven.
I love you, Raven.
A little Raven is playing like she was a realtor today. She's bringing the other kids into the house. This is a nice house, and there's always nice music playing here. Oh, and there's a nice lady that'll cook for you. In the other room.
That's a blessing. Yes, sir.
I want to make a couple statements here. Now, number one, you see we have the sign up here. We understand people come here. You got jobs, things to do, whatever, health problems. If you got to slip off quietly, slip off. But you're not going to grieve anybody. You have to do that, okay? But I felt like I need to make a point. When Brother McVeigh preached, then Brother Cliff Taylor came up. And I want to make this statement. As a pastor, from time to time, I counsel people. Part of your job, part of what you have to do. And there's a verse out of the Word of God that I hold to, and I believe it as firmly as anything I believe in the Word of God. It's in 1 Corinthians 11. It says this: the woman is the glory of the man.
Yes, sir. That's right. Okay. Yes, sir, Pastor.
Now, I'm not a gardener. If I was, every plant would be dead in this town. All right? I'm just not much good at that kind of thing. But I do have good enough sense that when I go to somebody's flower garden and they've got a rose bush sitting there and the rose on there, the petals are black and withered or whatever else, that there's probably a problem with the stem, the root, something of that rot. So I can stand there and scream at that rose, how come you're black and withered, okay? But if I wanted to correct that rose and I wanted good roses, I'd probably have to dig in those roots a little bit. Find out what's going on. Work to make sure the sun's getting, make sure those leaves, everything's right, like the way they ought to be. Now, every once in a while, some fellow will call me. Usually it's because they're new. And once they've had one of these rounds with me, it doesn't ever happen again. But they'll come in there and they'll start griping about their wife. Well, she does this, she does that, she does this, she does that. And all in my mind, I'm thinking, well, the woman's the glory of the man. Yeah. Well, what, that poor woman growing on this stem with this guy for roots? No wonder she's what she is.
Yes, sir. That's right, Pastor.
No wonder she's the miserable wreck she is. If I could straighten this guy out, that woman would probably turn into something.
Amen. Right? Thank the Lord.
She'd probably be something that she ought to be.
Right, Pastor. Yes, okay?
And now, my wife and I, it's part of our testimony. You hear it a lot. You know we came out of rough backgrounds. You know that. My wife often talks about the misery of her rebellions and the misery of the things she went through and how low that she ended up stupid in life. And then, like we talked about today, why to hurt people, she was a hurt person. Hurt by herself, hurt by her family, hurt by things that went on. And so, as we began to have children, she began to hurt the children. Now, my wife would have never been at any point where CPS would have walked in. It's never the point where physical damage or something like that to them. But she said, I did. She hated. She hated perfectly. And the children grew up in an atmosphere of hate, misery, yelling, screaming, bitterness. We say, big boy, how'd you react to that? Oh, lamented to God, why is my wife this way? And the day finally came when the Lord made me look in the mirror and say, what is it about you that your glory has to be griping and hatred? What is it about you that your glory has to be misery and bitterness? What is it about you that a woman cannot flourish planted on you as a stem?
Yeah.
I no longer began to look at it like, what's wrong with this woman over here? I began to look at what's wrong with this man. When I began to handle it that way, my wife began to be able to flourish.
Right.
Suddenly, nutrition began to go into those petals like they were supposed to go.
Amen. Thank
suddenly,
you.
Yes, she could get the sun that she was supposed to get. The day did come when God finally broke through the bitterness and the hatred and he saved her. And it was a wonderful day when that happened. Wonderful day. All my children knew something's happened. Something's different in this family. Now, one of the stories, my church, I have trouble telling the story because my wife always gets jealous when I tell it, but I need to tell the story anyway. As a young man, when I was overseas living in Greece, so I first started reading the Bible. When I first read the Bible, I could see Mars Hill. okay? And I was up on a mountaintop and I could look down and see Mars Hill when I first started reading the Bible. I could see the docks of Piraeus where Paul would have had to come ashore and such. And so I first started reading the Word of God in itself. And I began to go to Bible studies down in the city of Athens. And sometimes we'd have little missionary girls from Wheaton would come. Sometimes it'd be GIs. And sometimes it would be amongst the native Greek people and that. You know, they'd have some of their students who are saved and born again. And I went to one particular Bible study in a house with two sisters. One of them was named Agni. You call that Agnes. The other one was named Hadis. Hadis, the way Westerners speak Greek, they speak it with a Latin accent, it would be Harris, all right? It means grace. Hadis, okay? And the thing is, these two girls had this house, they set up this Bible study. Now, Agni was passable as far as what she looked like and that, but they'd grown up on a Greek island. Their father had been in the Greek Civil War, a very bitter, horrible time, was coming back to Athens disillusioned and got saved and born again. And ended up going out into the island that he was from. Now the Greek islands, there's just hundreds of them all over the place. And every one of them is its own community. Can you imagine if Black Creek was an island? An island, and you had to go on a boat to get somewhere else. And each community developed on its own, and he had the Baptist church on that island. And these two girls grew up on that island. Hadis was probably the single most gracious, graceful woman I'd ever in my life heard of to that point. But she didn't have any two teeth pointing in the same direction. She was a horsey woman in the sense of big boned, big huge wrists. I remember her hair just, you know, there was nothing to it, just some brown hair just kind of came down. Kind of a wide face, and yet when she would talk, it would be like music coming out of her mouth. And just every word she said, she'd flit around that house and wait on people. And I'm watching these American GIs falling in love with a woman who couldn't get a movie star act any way in the world. The most gracious person I'd ever seen. And I remember as my heart was stirred for Hadis and thinking, whatever man marries Hadis, oh, the grace that'll be in his life forever to have this woman to be the one serving him and raising his children and such. But I also knew this, he needs to take her back to that island where she'll never know what she looks like. She'll never understand, you know, what she is. She needs to go back to that island. Needs a man can take her back to that culture. My wife always gets jealous when I say that. She'll say, well, I'm nothing like that. You know what God's done?
Yes, thank you.
Hadis means grace.
Yeah.
Give me a woman and fill her with grace.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Oh, the joys of that. You're not going to have a good woman if you're not a man. And if you're a man, God will take the woman you have and he'll make her a good woman.
Yes, thank the Lord for that.
He'll
yes,
do that.
Sir, Pastor, sure will.
He'll make her a good woman. He'll make her into what she's supposed to be.
Yes, thank
but
the Lord.
She never can be if you're not the man you're supposed to be.
Right.
You're a young man today and you're not married, be a man. Stay a virgin.
That's
don't
right.
be one of these little wimps. Gone around and abused yourself sexually so often and gotten into some little weird junk with your friends and all that kind of stuff, and now you're trying to prove you're a man and go around a lane with women. That doesn't prove nothing.
Right.
Doesn't prove anything. Be an absolute man and hold on to your virtue and hold on to what you have and see to it. Let me tell you something. I put together a couple one time and I've got to be careful about it, but they're not in this town. That girl came to me and she played the harlot, she played the whore for so long, I mean just broken. And that particular fellow was a woodsman. He got saved under my ministry. He thought he'd been saved for a long time, but he really had lived a virtuous life in Baptist churches. And he'd never touched a woman in his life. But he was an absolutely To the core of his being, he was a man. She was a women's liberator. She got a hold of a tape of mine one time on marriage. Her brother had sent it to her. She was living in a big city as a computer programmer. And she wrote a letter to my wife and I. I remember getting the pink envelope in the mail and afraid there was anthrax in it. This woman hated to hear the preaching, hated anything like that. But instead, when I opened up the envelope, she said this. She said, my brother gave me some tapes, and she said, I've been depressed and listening, and I listened to this message you talked about with marriage, and I told her a particular incident I'd gone through where I was at work all day, and I wouldn't eat any food because I knew my wife didn't have food at home. And I thought to myself, the ark of God abideth in the field, the armies of Israel abide in the field, I'll not go with my wife. I thought, if my wife doesn't have food at home, I don't care if they're feeding us at work, I'm not going to eat. And I just told that story to show how it's a partnership, what a marriage is.
Yes, sir.
This woman wrote to me and she said, I've sat here tonight and wept and prayed, oh God, give me a Christian husband. Oh God, give me a Christian husband. I had to get a hold of her and say, well, you need Christ before you have a Christian husband. All right? You need something else. And I remember calling a pastor in the city she was in and saying, look, I've got this girl, needs to start coming to your church. She came almost in widow's mourning, in the sense of knowing her life was a wreck. And that pastor had some sense. He got a hold of me one time. He said, you know, this girl, she doesn't even claim she's saved. He said, I would God that the women in my church dressed like she dressed. Would God that they'd come to church and attend and pay attention like she pays attention. And this particular old boy, the old woodsman, comes out of Pennsylvania. And he'd been on, I won't go into the whole thing, but he'd been to different places. And she saw him, and he saw her, and I thought, what a mismatch. Here's this woman who's played the whore for years, and here's this fella that has kept his virtue and such. And you know what he told her? He was struggling with this thing with salvation himself. He was wondering, do I have this thing? You know what he told her? He said, well, if there's any hope for us, you quit your job and go move back to your daddy's house. You move back to your daddy's house. He said, my daddy's not a Christian. He says, he's a good man. He's a farmer. Move back to your daddy's house. We're going to see where this thing's at. You know what she did? She quit her job. She moved back into her daddy's house, the place she cursed and hated all those years ago. Okay? Moved back there. Never missed our services whatsoever. The day came when he got rock solid in Jesus Christ, and the day came she did. She's a pastor's wife today. Has about 8 children. Okay? What are you saying? I'm saying I'd rather see a woman that's a whore and a man that's a virgin than a man that's had 100 women and a woman that's a virgin. If you really want to know. I think there's more hope for it. Now, I'd prefer that neither one ever touched anybody. I would. I'd prefer neither one ever touched anybody. They could come there in the innocence and know each other and such, and it'd all be wonderful. But what this country lacks is men. And one of the sure ways you know they lack men, they go ahead, they lay with women, get them pregnant, let the babies be killed, wander away from the babies, don't take care of them, anything else, don't have a licking bit of sense with it. Let me tell you something, if you want to love your children first, go ahead, keep your virginity, keep yourself clean, keep yourself pure. I'm talking to the men here.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to the men here. Don't let anyone convince you to do otherwise. And if you're somebody who has done otherwise, you know one of the best things you can do? Go ahead and get a hold of that poor woman that got hooked up with you. That poor woman who's gone ahead and didn't have any better sense than to marry a skunk like you. Go ahead and get a hold of that poor woman and tell her what a sorry rascal and a sorry excuse you are for humanity. And tell her that by the grace of God, you'll be the man you're supposed to be. By the grace of God, you'll be a stem that she can flower on. By the grace of God, you're going to be what she needs to be. And she'll flourish. I've seen men in churches that kind of start looking at another man's wife. Well, here's mine, dumping, gender, this. That guy's wife, she's alive and wonderful. Well, you know what? If you ended up marrying her, she'd turn into what your wife is.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
The woman's
yes,
the glory sir. Of the man, you stinking
that's right.
jughead.
That's right, Pastor. Amen. Yes, sir.
Be what you're supposed to be and let God do something
with it. Thank the Lord.
Brother Zach, you go ahead and preach, brother. God bless you.